6 never, ever marks the spot.
I am altering the deed. Pray I don't alter it any further.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
I'm Batman.
Dracarys.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Top 5 Report. The podcast wonders, if you offer swimming lessons, how many tribbles can you get in your bathtub? My name is Drew, I'll be your host for the evening. Along with me, as always, is my brother, Peter. How are you, sir?
I'm here, and I think the correct answer to that is ice cream has no bones.
Ice cream has no bones. Actually, I've been trying to crack a Tribbles joke for a really long time.
Nice. So,
but yeah, man, how are you? How was your week? How have you been?
It's been good. It's Thanksgiving week. Spoiler alert, we're recording a little bit ahead of time, but yeah, nothing too crazy besides holiday prep. How about you?
Well, so at the time of this recording, it is Black Wednesday, so everyone should be out at bars spending money. And putting the bars in the black, right? Getting them out of the red. That's what it's about. That's,
sure.
Right.
Okay.
That's why they call it Black Friday, because of the stores.
Yeah.
Right. So everyone should be out partying. Peter and I haven't done this in a really long time. We're actually sitting across the table for a change.
Yes.
As opposed to doing it via the interwebs. It's great because you live in a college town. So I was thinking to myself, because we're going to go out after this. So I was thinking to myself, all the college kids have left to go home.
Yes.
So we're going to go out. The town's going to be empty. It's going to be all ours to play around in. So there we go.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think going out really means we're going out to eat with our families. So I don't know how crazy the night's going to get, but you know, go to the local restaurant. Maybe we'll go into a shop or two. But
does not matter. We are going out. Anyway, people don't want to listen to that nonsense, but. Well, maybe they do. I don't know. That's a whole other episode. How about we just jump right into it? Because we don't want to make this too long of an episode.
Yes.
We have a list to get over. We have some quick news stories to discuss. I'll save the long ones for next week because we're trying to get in a quick holiday episode before all the family nonsense starts. So, did you watch anything this week? I have a couple items to discuss.
I watched one thing. I'll keep it super brief, though, because I actually don't have too much to say. But really all I've watched since we last recorded is the newest episode of Welcome to Derry, which is still pretty awesome. I will say we might have finally seen the titular character at this point. So we're about 5 episodes in, but we've finally seen, spoiler alert, Pennywise in the form that we know and love him. And
the show's Beetlejuice didn't appear until 45 minutes into the movie.
Yes.
So,
and don't get me started on the original Superman movie. but yeah, Welcome to Derry is super awesome. One of the craziest, most unexpected parts of the show is actually the weird conspiracy thriller, like military aspect to everything. And Drew, I'm getting a little bit into spoilers here. But when it comes to like using it, like when it comes to the military wanting to put a leash on it as basically ammo for the Cold War, I think that's a very interesting plot point that the show is going into unexpectedly.
It sounds interesting in the effect that that is how we start the buildup for Cabin in the Woods.
Sure. Maybe. Actually, no, you do have a point, because if it is this sort of like demonic entity from space, and if the government somehow lets it loose and they have to re-harness it, you might have a point there. Maybe they would have to use some sort of Cabin in the Woods sort of ritual. So,
right.
Yeah,
well, not just that, but then they grab it. And they're like, we got this weapon, and now they got to go get Freddy, and then they got to get Jason, and then they got to, like, you see what I'm saying? Like, leash them all, and then you got Cabin in the Woods. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. But the show is still awesome. Everybody should watch it. This last episode had, like, some really cool sequences that are almost, like, first-person shooter-esque, where it brings in like military members going through the sewers, like searching for Pennywise down there. Really fun stuff. So everybody check it out. I'm spoiling way too much for Drew though, so I'm gonna stop talking there. But yeah, what did you watch this week?
So first off, I watched Wicked 2. Or Wicked for Good, however you wanna word that title. So this is what's interesting about Wicked 2. I liked the second half better than the first half. I'm not talking about of that movie. I'm just saying the second part because it's a two-part movie.
Yeah.
I liked the second one better than the first one, but it made me like the first one better, which frustrates me as a filmmaker and a storyteller because that it's kind of like when you don't like a Marvel film, it's like when you're like, man, I hated Iron Man 3, and then you watch the movie after it, and you go, man, that made Iron Man 3 better.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're just like, I shouldn't have to say that. I shouldn't have to have this other thing to make the other thing better. And I know I'm probably getting chastised for that, but it's fine. There were some there were some cool surprises in terms of like who becomes who, like who's the Tin Man, who's the Scarecrow, all that stuff. How they handled a lot of that, like the correlation with the original film was cool. I think the thing that bugs me the most, and even as an adult, and this is actually the one thing that I think really drives me nuts. Water, and I didn't think about this when I was a kid, because you remember in the original Wizard of Oz, they splash her with the bucket of water, and she melts.
Yeah.
Right? But now we're seeing her as an actual living, breathing person in this world, this well-thought-out world. And when they deal with that water part, have you seen the Broadway show? Do you know the whole deal with this?
No, I don't know. I've never seen Wicked, so really don't know.
I'm going to straight up spoil this.
Okay, fair enough.
Because it's hard for me to talk about this problem without spoiling this.
Sure.
The scene with the water, when they actually get to that where they get splashed with water and everyone believes she's dead, it was a trick.
Oh, nice.
So she's not actually dead. It was a ploy to make everyone think that.
Nice.
What drives me nuts about that is now knowing that that's the case, she lives in a world where she should have had to take a bath. Like, as a rational human being, how can water kill her? That's the part that doesn't make sense. Like, who would have actually bought that? Like, what?
I mean, I would argue that we're talking about a world with flying monkeys and munchkin villages and horses of different colors.
But when you see her with, like, tears coming out of her eyes.
Sure.
And then you're just like, well, hold on a second. You've seen her, like, clean herself up. She has to have taken a shower at some point. This rationally doesn't make any sense. Why would anyone? But the other problem I have with Wicked, and this has nothing to do with the storytelling, is that the people who live in the Land of Oz are dumber than a box of hammers. They're incredibly naive. So they'll basically believe anything you tell them. And that's just one of those government control things, which is a subplot of the story anyway.
Okay, nice. Yeah.
So, but they are very naive and dumber than a box of hammers. So anyway.
The whole government conspiracy control stuff actually is sounding pretty interesting, though. So in a weird way, you're almost selling me on Wicked. So.
Ultimately, the movie was decent. I'm never going to complain. When it comes to musicals, I'm never going to complain about singing, dancing, you know, that kind of talent, because 9 times out of 10, it's always really good. I'm never going, wow, that song was horrible, or wow, they can't sing, unless you're Russell Crowe and Les Mis.
Sure.
But overall, Wicked 2 was good. The other thing that I watched the first 3 episodes of The Mighty Nein.
Oh, sick. How was that?
It is wonderfully amazing. There's some really neat Easter eggs. Like, there's a part where two of the characters are in a fun house, like at a carnival, and they walk past, like, they're in the House of Mirrors and all the different variations of them. And one of the mirrors shows them what they look like in the actual live, real life critical role.
Yeah.
You're just like, ha, that's funny. Like, they turn into their real life counterparts.
Was that, like, the shot in that mirror, was it live action? Or
no,
it was
like an animated, it was an animated version of what they look like in real life. I thought that was kind of clever.
That's still pretty great.
But the opening, like, the very first step, because this is Mighty Nein follows Critical Role's Campaign 2.
Right.
Okay? So, Campaign 2 opens in a tavern where they all meet and start talking, and then they go on the adventure, right? The first 3 episodes do not have those characters together in the tavern. It doesn't open that way.
Yeah.
From what I understand, episode 4, which I haven't watched yet, is where that actually takes place.
Okay, cool.
So those first three episodes, so there's characters that know each other when you started campaign two, and there's relationships pre-existing. So these first three episodes establish that. So when you get to that table moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So really cool. I feel like it's a darker subject tone than Vox Machina. Yeah. I actually enjoyed campaign two better than Vox Machina anyway. And of the Critical Role stuff, Mighty Nein was my favorite. So I'm very looking forward to seeing this animated series play out. It's really cool. So I look forward to your review when you get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Hopefully next week. But yeah, awesome stuff.
All right. Let's knock out some real quick news, and then we'll hop onto tonight's list because we want to make this a little bit shorter of an episode, shall we? So
we've got that blacking out to do.
We got that blacking out to do. Actually, we just have family members waiting on us. That's the real issue.
Absolutely.
More than anything. Okay, so these are the quick hits. We'll save the long stories for next week. So quick hit number one. And I'm really sorry to tell you this. What is happening to my phone? I built the show on my phone, and then I'm hitting wrong buttons. Okay. The live-action Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin is no longer happening.
Yes, I did hear about this.
Okay, so ultimately it sounds like they're just concerned that the very first Ninja Turtles movie out the gate in a really long time is going to be this R-rated, bloody action film. So I don't know. That might, from what I understand, it's done for right now. But it could be done forever.
It's so disappointing to everybody, like all of anybody like us and probably most of our show's audience who might be like, you know, maybe older, you know, want that gritty R-rated, super violent version of the Ninja Turtles. But is that going to ever happen? I don't know. You have to look at the economy. You have to look at movies like, you know, you have to look at like the Sonic franchise or Minecraft and like how the biggest movies right now really are family movies. So as much as it sucks to hear, there is a part of me that's still going to love it just because I love the Ninja Turtles and it'll be cool to bring my kid to it. But man, if we could get that dark, gritty, like Christopher Nolan level, like Dark Knight level Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, that would have been amazing. So,
yeah. So I just feel bad for you just because like you're between the two of us, you're a big Ninja Turtle fan. So you know what I mean?
I'm sure I'm going to love this one regardless. I just could have maybe loved it more. So
yeah. All right. Game of Thrones spinoff Night of the Seven Kingdoms has been renewed for a second season. Not shocking. Right. Yeah. I think we all knew that was coming. Mm-hmm. House of the Dragon, they said, was going to be a four-season show, period. So they're getting their four seasons, which is going to be weird because as soon as season three launches, they're going to tell us that it's renewed for a fourth season when we are kind of already know that. I don't know how many seasons Night of the Seven Kingdoms is supposed to run.
Yeah.
So I appreciate the, hey, we're getting a second season out of it. Lanterns is getting moved to a summer 2026. I think what they're doing is I think it got moved not because of like another movie release. I think they're concerned with the Warner Brothers sales situation. They don't know if they're going to be like, yeah, that's not coming out, and cancel everything. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think they're just kind of moving it for right now, and so it's not halfway through and then like, yeah, you know what I mean? Don't know what's going on with
so that. They're delaying Lanterns then.
I think that's what it is. Okay. It's more of a delay, and it's because of the acquisition that's being discussed. So other quick ones, that might be it. John Carter is set for a reboot.
Okay, again,
the 2012 flop. I'm sorry, I hate to say this, but I really feel that, like, because they're saying that long before Dune, Star Wars, and Avatar, John Carter novels shaped the entire genre. Yes, that is, from what I understand, true. But I remember when the last movie came out, everyone was like, what the hell is this? And no one went and saw the movie.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a world...
I mean, it's not a bad movie. I feel like the
did
last
you watch
one,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
The last one, I feel like there was a big marketing issue. Like it wasn't marketed well and stuff. So I don't know if they approach it differently this time. Maybe it could work. I think the world of John Carter is pretty cool, but it's just kind of like finding a way to make it stick. And in the pop culture landscape we're in right now, with so many other things to compete with, I think they just really gotta be smart how they marketed this movie, especially after watching something like Tron, the newest Tron Ares. Like, that movie supposedly flopped, and I feel like that had a marketing issue as well. So, I don't know. I feel like Disney is kind of in a weird spot with their sci-fi stuff outside of Star Wars, you know? So,
yeah, I feel they don't know what to do about Star Wars. That's because true too, and this yeah. is a great segue. See, we get good at this. Rian Johnson has officially confirmed that his Star Wars trilogy is dead.
Okay. Fair enough.
And yeah. I think we all knew that. He's so focused on his stuff with Netflix and the Knives Out series and stuff like that. Like, it's fine. I think Rian Johnson makes good movies, despite what people think about The Last Jedi. I think he makes good movies. Yeah. You know, so it is what it is.
It's also something where, like, you wonder if Disney's been, like, having him, like, hang on a thread for so long. Like, oh, sure, you're going to be able to make your trilogy at some point. And then he's just kind of hanging there in limbo. And him saying, like, by the way, it's officially dead, that kind of puts the ball more in Disney's court, where it's, like, it could force their hand a little bit to be like, no, it's actually not dead, and maybe, like, speed that process up a little bit from a pre-production standpoint. But I'm not really sure, but...
Well, I actually thought it was the other way around, that
he had Disney
on the thread, because, okay. because he was supposed to be writing it.
Yeah.
Right? So, could you imagine if, like, this is the thing where maybe he has no script, he has no story, he's got nothing.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, we're done. As opposed to Disney, like, you know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm going to do a trilogy, and they're like, yeah, great. And yes. Disney's waiting for content. You know what I mean? Like, and they could push it along, but I feel like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, very, very good.
It goes
point.
Either way.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it. That's it for the news. Like I said, this is it's a short news week anyway, so I was like, but there was like a couple longer ones that we'll be able to dive into heavier next week. So do you want to talk about tonight's list?
Yeah, let's go for
Perfect.
It.
Perfect. All right, everybody, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
And now for the top five.
Right, Peter. This was your pick, so why don't you explain what we are doing? Yeah, we'll go from there.
Sure thing. For some reason, I didn't know if this was going to be another one of those. Explain what we're doing, and I'll explain why I did it wrong. This was kind of a weird list, so I hope it didn't give you too much trouble, Drew. But basically what we're talking about is our favorite TV programming blocks tonight. So this really harkens back for me to the time of cable TV, and I know cable's still out there. I'm not watching cable too much, but I know it's still going on. So TV blocks aren't really a thing of the past, but it just reminded me, you know, as a kid, like, you come home from school and maybe like Fox Kids is a good example of like a TV programming block, where every day you'd come home from school and there'd be like a lot of your favorite shows just right there for you to watch through. I feel like every network has, like, tons of programming blocks. I remember last week, Drew, you asked, like, are there five? And I'm like, I think there's a ton. And it actually gets kind of interesting when you get into, like, certain programming blocks are definitely, like, branded when it comes to things like TGIF or Must See TV or Fox Kids, like I said. But then there's other programming blocks that are maybe a little bit more vague, but people still know, like, oh, if you tune into this channel at this time, that's when they have all their sci-fi shows on, for example. But long story short, one of the reasons I wanted to talk about this is, besides just being nostalgic for you know, the days of cable TV, like I said, in a weird way, I feel like the holidays reminds me of this a lot. Because, like, when it comes to Thanksgiving break and Christmas break, as goofy as it is, some of my favorite memories as a kid is coming home from school and just being able to watch TV all day, you know? And, you know, meanwhile, you're playing with your favorite action figures or reading your favorite books or whatever it is, but just having those favorite TV blocks on in the background. So I don't know what your thoughts were on this project we got going here and whatever.
So,
but...
so yes, are there five? That was a confusing thing. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, there's a ton of them. My problem with this was not my ability to put together the list and me sure. finding it difficult. My problem with this was the internet. And I say that meaning I would look them up and yes. I'd get a list. And then I'd have to look up each one individually to get a list of what shows were actually in the block. Yes. Okay. It was not a very conducive, easy to like dig through search on the internet. Yeah. That's where I had trouble.
That's fair.
You know, I actually found it quite easy to put the list together, and we're probably going to match a ton.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting
to
see.
I fully expect us to match a lot on it. I just thought it was interesting because the internet didn't have it listed out the way I was hoping the internet would have things listed out. Yes. To find. So,
well, it's also like a subject that was maybe a little bit more relevant in the 90s and 2000s yeah. and stuff. And now, like in 2025, nobody cares about TV programming blocks, but I do, and I want to talk about it. So nope. That's what we're
nobody
doing
cares about it at all. And it's and that's the thing, kids, is back in the day when we had this, it was just that's what they was called. Like one of the most a perfect example of now of an actual programming block that I think still exists sure. is Fox's Animation Domination.
Okay.
I think that's cool. still a thing. Voice actor James Arnold Taylor from the Clone Wars, who voiced Obi-Wan and several other characters, he's actually the voice that says Animation Domination.
Okay.
When you see the commercial clips and stuff for their adult animated sequences with Family Guy and all those.
Oh, perfect.
That's all him. So I assume that there's still some programming blocks that actually exist, but since no one watches network television anymore, well, the CBS... What is it? Whatever the CBS thing is right now with Georgie and Mandy and ghosts and whatever they have.
You're like speaking Chinese to
that,
me.
I know. Believe me, they have them. We're just not watching those programs anymore. Yes, so. Yes.
But I mean, what I hope with this list is maybe some of our listeners will have like some nostalgia when we talk about various memories of great programming blocks and stuff like that. So. I do have two honorable mentions. I don't know where you're sitting with this.
Same.
So. Oh, wow. Okay. Good.
I'm surprised I do. I don't have a lot to say about them. They're honorable mentions because I only watched a couple shows off the block. It wasn't like I watched the whole block. It was like, that's on there. That's kind of how my honorable mentions went. Where like some of the other ones, it's like, dude, I watched everything on that block.
Yes.
Right?
Okay.
So my first honorable mention is the Disney Afternoon. That's what it was called.
Okay.
Shows that included on there. Tailspin, Chip and Dale, Gargoyles, I think Darkwing Duck was a part of it, but it was only like a couple shows. The rest of them, I was like, I don't even know what that is. When okay. I was looking at the programmings, I'm like, Disney Afternoon. What was Disney Afternoon? Oh, Tailspin. Right. I love Tailspin, right? Yeah. And then I was looking at the shows, I'm like, I don't know what some of that is, because I probably turned off the screen yeah. and watched something else. So, yeah, Disney Afternoon for that reason alone.
But I think you did hit the big TV shows from that block, like you said, Tailspin, Darkwing Duck,
yeah,
stuff like that. So yeah, good call. Sounds really fun. I don't remember this block specifically, but I did enjoy some of those shows back in the day. So good call.
I also know in the realm of TV blocks, you were either a Disney kid or a Nickelodeon kid. Some yes. of us skirted the line between the two, but for the most part, when you ask people who they were growing up as, like, yes. what cartoons did you watch as a kid, you could tell if they were a Nickelodeon kid or a Disney kid.
Yes.
My kid grew up as a Disney kid without even realizing it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, he never really watched Nickelodeon. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, so...
I was definitely in the Nickelodeon camp, and then eventually, because growing up, we never had Cartoon Network. It wasn't until I was, like, in high school that we finally had Cartoon Network, and then I made the switch to, like, always Cartoon Network all the time, and maybe some of that discussion will come in later. But I can move into my first
sure.
honorable mention if you're ready.
What do you got?
So my first one isn't, as far as I know, it isn't really a branded block. But it is a block that, at least when I was in high school, all my friends knew about it, and we all watched it. Like, I had multiple friend groups that watched this block. I just don't know if it actually had a name. So that's kind of why this one's an honorable mention. But on Friday nights on Comedy Central, they would always play the show Comedy Central Presents.
Yeah.
And if nobody's ever seen that show, it's basically a half an hour show where it's various different stand-up comedians. And they would go on stage and they would do a half an hour set. And you would basically get to see like all the up and coming comedians at the time. And it was like really cool. But on Friday nights, Comedy Central would just do Comedy Central Presents over and over. And for like, I remember me and my friend group back in the day, we loved this. Like it was just, if Friday night, if you had nothing else to do, you could just tune into Comedy Central, and there was just so much like great comedy content. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, that comedy boom in the 90s. I didn't even think about this as a programming block.
Yes.
I really didn't. But yeah, that comedy boom in the 90s, the amount of comics that you watched, it was incredible. Like, there was so much, and now you can't make fun of anything. So there's no comedians anymore.
Oh, go on Instagram. There's comedians.
No, there's comedians for sure. It's just not the same consumable comedy that they're used
to. Yes, and I don't know if they're as culturally relevant, most of them, but sure. You know, they're doing their best, so that's that's what's good to hear. So
all right, so yeah, Comedy Central.
Yeah, I just did like Comedy Central Presents Fridays, because that definitely was a block back in the day. But yeah, what do you got for us next?
I was not typing when I normally type. So the next one I had is Nick in the Afternoon.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Again, Disney Afternoon, Nick in the Afternoon. I think this is probably why I turned off Disney. But when I was looking at the programming block, the only show I watched off of Nick in the Afternoon was Salute Your Shorts.
Oh, classic. Yeah.
Right? It's a phenomenal show. It's just it's the only one I watched. I was like, yeah, I totally watched that. And then I... So, yeah, Nick in the Afternoon, honorable mention, because I only watched the one show, but Salute Your Shorts was like one of those must-see kind of things.
Yeah.
So...
Salute Your Shorts was great. I feel like Nick in the Afternoon might have also had like Clarissa Explains It All, maybe, and
probably, but I don't think I watched Clarissa. Okay. Why am I not talking properly? Yeah,
I used to watch it because I would get home from school and I'd watch Clarissa Explains It All. But really, I just cared about Rocco's Modern Life, which was going to come on right after that. And then after Rocco, I'd switch over to, like, ABC and watch Boy Meets World. And back in the day before streaming kids, we used to have to schedule our days based on the TV channel. And we're like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. Yeah. Now I got to go to Fox and watch The Simpsons.
Yeah, because we didn't have streaming.
Yeah.
We literally had to, like, oh, that's when that's on. And you had to memorize channels.
Yeah.
And it's funny because in the realm of tearing down your cable and like not, and like, because you just bought a new TV recently, right?
Yeah.
Does the remote have numbers on the buttons?
No.
Yeah. So the TVs I just recently bought don't either. And I thought about it, I'm like, why don't you? Oh, because you don't put in channel numbers anymore.
Yeah.
You scroll streaming services. Yeah. Anyway.
Fun stuff. What's funny about this list, I'm just realizing, is everybody talks with like such warm nostalgia for the 80s and 90s and like, oh, we were outside all day, we were riding our bikes everywhere, getting into trouble. But and we all were doing that, but a lot of time too you were sitting there watching your favorite TV
shows. Are you kidding?
So.
Some people just watched MTV and just let it go.
That's,
you know,
true,
what I
yeah,
mean?
Yeah.
So yeah. All right, man, what's your next honorable mention?
So my next honorable mention, I feel like, should be higher on my list. And this kind of factors into what you were saying, Drew, where this is a block that I've loved. I've loved many different iterations of this block. And I think this block is actually a lot more culturally relevant today than a lot of the other ones we're talking about. My problem is this is a block that rarely did I like the full lineup. Usually there was a couple shows that I loved, but it's very rare that I loved the entire lineup. And people are going to start throwing tomatoes when I say it, but that's actually Adult Swim. Where I remember the first time I watched Adult Swim, Drew, I think you sat me and then our other brother Sean, also friend of the show, down, and you're like, you guys have to watch Adult Swim. And, you know, we were in like junior high or something, and you just knew we would like the shows. And the first time I watched it, it was like Aqua Teen, Hunger Force, C-Lab 2021, The Oblongs. I can't remember if Boondocks was on there yet. But it was like this really solid block of really good cartoons. And then I remember a couple years later, it was like Boondocks and Metalocalypse. Like those two shows I loved. Like I've watched so many of episodes of those shows and I loved them. But then there was also stuff that I didn't care too much for, like stuff like Tim and Eric, Awesome Show, Great Job, or Squidbillies. Like some of these other shows felt a little more like, a little too nonsensical that I didn't have that connection that I did with like some of the other ones. And so that's why Adult Swim to me has always been like wishy-washy. Like some of the shows amazing, some of the shows are kind of take it or leave it, but in general it still is this huge cultural force that is still relevant today, and that's what I think's awesome about
You forgot the Brack show though.
That's true, Brack, yeah.
And you know, the one thing about Brack is I always wanted to try and get that voice down, but I could never figure it out. It was like, Brack's got one of the best voices, I just could never figure it out. No, I hear you with Adult Swim, good call on that. But yeah, no, just solid blocks. You mentioned C-Lab, right?
Yeah, C-Lab 2020. Yeah.
Gosh, that was such an amazing show. But yeah, it was just really great, kind of adult animation, if you will. I don't know, is it still even called Adult Swim?
So I don't know if it's a block, but if you go into HBO Max, there is an Adult Swim hub. Yeah. The other thing that's funny about this pick is after I kind of put this as an honorable mention, I remembered that Adult Swim also would play a lot of anime. You know, when you think of Cowboy Bebop and Trigun and stuff. And when I thought of that, I was like, maybe it should go higher on my list. But that's all right. I've got my list formatted, so let's just keep moving forward with it.
Yeah. All right, so my first actual pick of the night, I'm going with TGIF. Mm-hmm. I figured we'd match on this one, but I don't know. Maybe we did. This is where I was like, this is where I'm expecting us to match a bunch.
Okay, fair enough.
There's one for sure I think we're going to match on no matter what. But TGIF, the shows that I really like took heart to this one were Full House and Different Strokes. TGIF, by the way, was Thank God It's Friday. And then you had the shows because you were done with school, you were done with work, and time to come and like hang out with our friends on the TV. So yeah, Full House. I had the biggest crush on DJ Tanner, and even moving into Fuller House, yep, that crush, they remained the same. but yeah, no, good stuff. And then Different Strokes, I really liked. I cannot remember it's the cousins from the different country living together.
Sure.
It's Larry and I forget the other one, the foreign guy's name.
I don't know.
That show does not hold up. Fair. I saw an episode or two recently enough to be like, wow, that did not hold up well at all. So yeah, anyway. But then, that's it. So what do you got for me?
So TGIF. I was just going to comment. I remember, Family Matters, I think, was on TGIF.
Yeah, Family Matters was on there too.
So that was a huge thing. And
Family Matters, I watched reruns in the sense that it was something I watched before I left for school, like while I was eating cereal in the morning or something.
Yeah, I have a similar relationship to that show. I think like Step by Step might have been on TGIF. I'm not sure. I liked TGIF. I liked the shows, but I don't think for me it was, I don't think I connected with the block like as much as I thought I was supposed to. Like I had friends at school that were like, oh, TGIF, I like TGIF, or I love TGIF. And I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. It's, you know, I liked the shows, but it wasn't like a must watch every Friday night for me. So it didn't make my list, but I do like the block a lot. So yeah, I could move into my next one if you want.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll move into another
actual pick.
Yes, my first actual pick. This one is another sitcom-based block, I would say. And it's one that I've actually mentioned quite a few times on the last few episodes of the show. But I actually went with Nick at Night. I feel like Nick at Night has came up a lot. As a kid, this was like my source for basically any old sitcoms, whether that be like Brady Bunch, Mary Tyler Moore, The Dick Van Dyke Show, Happy Days. I used to watch a ton of Happy Days on there. I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched were some other favorites of mine, at least. Bewitched, to be honest, might be the show that I watched the most on Nick at Night. And I think that's just as a kid, you like your sitcoms to have that fantasy element, you know? Like you want that sort of like, oh, his wife's a witch. It's awesome. So
she was also pretty hot, too. Let's be real.
That's true. so was Jeannie and I Dream of Jeannie. But regardless, Nick at Night, in a weird way, you know, as a kid, I loved Nick at Night. And I was not in the demographic, but I remember staying up late and just having great nights just watching those old sitcoms and stuff like that. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on this one.
I
figured.
And this is, so to give you guys a breakdown of this, so Nickelodeon, so Cartoon Network eventually becomes Adult Swim, right? Nickelodeon was Nickelodeon, and then it was the Adult Time. It turned into Nick at Night, and it was like the adult shows because the kids are going to bed kind of thing, right? Well, now that programming, so then all the Nick at Night stuff got so much popularity that it got its own channel and became TV Land. If you didn't realize
that's
that,
a good
and then the Nick at Night stuff isn't really Nick at Night; it's basically just Friends reruns now.
Yeah.
And now and then most of those shows have moved from TV Land to a show called Me to a channel called Me Too. Yep. But Nick at Night shows that you missed out on that I just loved. So you mentioned Dick Van Dyke, awesome.
Yeah.
Mary Tyler Moore, Taxi.
Yes, Taxi. Okay.
F Troop, Get Smart.
Yeah.
There were like times that I'm like, I was making the time to watch that old stuff. I'm like, this is phenomenal. Like, just watching some of those old things. And when I say I grew up on Dick Van Dyke, people look at me weird. Like, how is that possible? Because I'm not old enough to say I grew up on Dick Van Dyke, but I am because of Nick at Night.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. And what's also weird, Drew, is I don't think our parents were encouraging us to watch Nick at Night. I think we just did.
We just did it on our own.
Which is kind of a weird thing, but pretty cool. So.
Yeah. Well, we matched. I'm throwing it back at you.
Yeah. So I'm going to keep the Nickelodeon train going. And Drew, you did mention Nick in the Afternoon. And I don't know if this has any crossover with this. My next pick is a pick that I think might have had multiple segments. Like, I think this block might have been something that was in the afternoon after school, but also like a Saturday morning sort of thing. And that block is Nicktoons, which was basically Nickelodeon's cartoons. It was kind of a really well-known block, but some of my favorites from the time were Rocko's Modern Life is one of my all-time favorite cartoons, and Rocko was definitely like a huge force on Nicktoons. Rocko's Modern Life, if anybody hasn't seen it, I think as an adult, it's almost funnier. Like, it's almost better. Like, people need to revisit it because there's a lot of really suggestive, hidden humor. Some other highlights were, like, Doug. You know, Doug, he's all right. Like, it was a good show to watch at the time. But Doug, when it comes down to it, Doug is kind of like the beige of animated series, if you will. Like, he's pretty mundane in certain
the
ways.
The beige.
Yeah. But then some of my other favorites were actually the Klasky Supo series, like, you know, things like Rugrats, The Wild Thornberries, Rocket Power. Those cartoons had a very distinct style to them when it comes to animation style and stuff. And I really miss them. Like, they really have a very 90s specific vibe that you don't really see very much anymore. So yeah, that's Nicktoons. I don't know if you have any comments on this one, Drew, but there you go.
Rugrats, for some reason, I thought was a not an afternoon show. I thought it was more of like a Saturday morning thing. Of course, then again, that might be when I was catching it, like reruns and stuff. But Rugrats was great.
Yeah.
I watched Doug through you.
Sure.
So like, I didn't watch Doug the way you watched Doug, you know. So,
I think Doug's one of those shows where it's one of my favorites, I watched a lot of it, but it was never one of my favorites. It's one of those things like if I knew Rugrats was on, and then there'd be Doug in between like an episode of something else I'd watch, I would watch Doug just to fill that half hour.
Yeah, and believe me, I watched all of Sex and the City on HBO. Because it was set between two other shows that I watched.
Okay. Yeah.
So, like, instead of, like, changing the channel, I just sat through the episode of Sex and the City. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, yeah, anyway. No, good call on the Nicktoons. I'm going to stay on the tune category. And I realize there's a lot of cartoons in these TV blocks. Most of it, I feel, is animation, to be completely honest. Or at least that's what I was finding. I'm going with Fox Kids.
Awesome.
This specifically included Animaniacs and Tiny Toons.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what these did. And Tiny Toons being a part of the Looney Tunes category was like the kid versions of all the characters, but they were like, it was like Bugs Bunny's nephew and Daffy Duck's like kid and like, you know what I mean? Like it was all those, like the younger kids.
Yeah.
And that was some of the funniest writing. Literally, some of the funniest writing for a cartoon because it wasn't just the physical gags where Looney Tunes was. It was like jokes.
Yes.
It was like one-liners. There are still stuff. There's references. One of my favorite ones is it's from their summer vacation episodes.
Yes.
And they go to the theater. And right before the theater, like old VHS tapes back in the VCR days, they used to, and some of the DVD conversions of these used to do like a THX logo would come up on the screen to do a sound demo on your DVD player or whatever. And when that would happen, that like whatever sound they did, they did that on Tiny Toons in the movie theater. It just went thud really loud on the screen. The screen said thud, and it was just really loud. And the audience was just in a state of shock, and it said, the audience is now deaf. Mm-hmm. And I always loved that. And that's a reference I make every now and then, to even today. Tiny Toons was phenomenal. I thought it was one of the smartest written cartoons ever until I saw Animaniacs.
Yeah.
And then Animaniacs blew that completely out of the water. It's like the same writing team. They all kind of worked together, like, you know what I mean? But it was like Animaniacs not only was incredible writing and visual gags and stuff like that, but it also landed a lot of educational stuff.
Yeah.
I know the like all the presidents because of Animaniacs, because they have the song The Presidents.
Yeah.
It's the president. It's the presidents of the United States of America, whatever that song is. I know who all the presidents are in order because of the Animaniacs. You know, there was crazy stuff like that they did. And they had like all their songs were super catchy. And then they had all the funny, zany, wacky stuff that they did. But I yes. loved Animaniacs. It's probably one of the best kid cartoons in the world. So,
and I think that the educational aspect was very, it was very good to, kind of turn, I remember turning our mom around on the show because she thought Animaniacs was just so obnoxious when we were kids, but then like being able to be like, no, it's actually, you know, educational, like this is the song about all the countries in the world and all that sort of stuff. Another one of my favorite songs from Animaniacs, which I think about all the time actually, is, the episode where Yakko writes a song with only two notes.
Yeah.
It becomes this like huge thing, and there's like a parade sequence like during like this whole song that he makes, and it's amazing. But I think about it so often, like you can make a two note song, and they did it, and it was amazing. Animaniacs is awesome. Tiny Toons, another great show. I love those summer vacation episodes, like you mentioned. Like, there's a hilarious tunnel sequence where it's like you gotta hold your breath before you go through the tunnel, and it's Plucky Duck is with Hampton, I think, is Porky. Porky Pig's like nephew or something. Plucky Duck is on vacation with Hampton's family, and it's just hilarious. So that whole like hold your breath through the tunnel sequence is amazing. Another part of that show that that episode I always think about is there's this part where Plucky is sitting in the back seat and he is dying of heat. Like they're in this cramped like station wagon or something in the middle of summer. He's sweating. He can barely breathe. And he asks, you know, the driver, like Hampton's dad or whatever, like, can you turn the air conditioning on? And he turns it on, and then the guy's wife in the next seat's like, well, don't turn on the air conditioning. We don't want to waste gas. And then he's like, oh, okay, no problem. I'll just crack the window. And he starts to open the window. And the wife says, well, don't open the window. Then people will think we don't have air conditioning. So he's like, oh, good point. And he puts the window back up. And then Plucky is still stuck there suffering in the back seat. But amazing picks. We're talking a lot about Fox Kids, but we did match on this one, actually.
Cool.
So sorry, you started talking about Animaniacs and I went on a tangent. But
no, it's all good.
Fox Kids I loved. This is maybe one of my absolute favorite TV blocks. It's one of the ones that I think of first and foremost. Some other like highlights for me on Fox Kids is I do remember they had like Batman the Animated Series on there, as well as Spider-Man and X-Men. I don't know if those shows premiered on Fox Kids, but I know they definitely played reruns of them, and I loved watching those shows back in the day. Power Rangers also is from Fox
Yep.
Kids, as well as all the Saban stuff. And then another one that I wasn't super into, but it has a huge cultural relevance, is Pokemon was actually a Fox Kids show.
Oh, really?
As well. Yeah. When Pokemon blew up, that cartoon was on Fox Kids, and then they started importing all sorts of like kids anime stuff. So then you had like Yu-Gi-Oh on Fox Kids and Digimon and like all this stuff. And there's kids I've worked or people I work with who are like a little younger than me who actually think of Fox Kids as the big anime TV black when they were kids, which is really weird because we're talking about like Animaniacs and Batman and stuff. But for some of my coworkers, they actually have said like, oh no, Fox Kids was where it was at if you wanted to watch anime back in the day, because it was, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh, Pokemon, Monster Rancher, like all that sort of stuff. So really fun stuff and super culturally relevant. So there you go.
So I'm glad you brought up Batman the Animated Series, because that segues nicely into mine.
Okay, cool.
Batman the Animated Series originally premiered prime time.
Yes, okay, yeah.
And it aired, and it was prime time for a while, meaning in the evenings.
Yes.
And then they moved it to Fox Kids as reruns, and then it got moved again to WB Kids, which is my next pick.
Classic, okay.
WB Kids, and the reason WB Kids lands for me is because it was Batman Animated Series, Superman Animated Series, Batman Beyond, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited. Yes. It basically became the DC superhero lineup.
Yeah, really good call with this,
right?
One.
And
yeah,
that's why, like, so I, when you brought up Batman, I was like, yes, that's correct. However,
yeah,
and then it, because of the popularity and the spinoff shows, it just snowballed.
Yeah,
the only show that I didn't really watch on that lineup was Static.
I believe
you did, but that really wasn't. I kind of didn't really dig into that one, but other than that, man, WB Kids, all those superhero shows, like, I love pretty much all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. So. And Static Shock is one that I liked. I didn't watch it as much as, like, Batman the Animated Series or Justice League or Superman, like you mentioned, but that's one that I always think, like, I bet Static Shock's, like, really good. You know, like, I caught a handful of episodes, but that would be a fun one to revisit because I'm like, it's probably really good and we're all just sleeping on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
really good call with Kids WB. And it's funny because I do associate Batman the Animated Series with Fox Kids because I think that's just where I watched a lot of it. But I think this is a really good call for your next pick. So
sure.
Yeah.
All right, man. What do you got for me?
Yeah, so I'm going to keep the animation train going, and then I have kind of a weird pick for my last one, but I'm going to go with Toonami on Cartoon Network. And Toonami, this is an interesting one, because I mentioned earlier in the episode that we didn't have Cartoon Network when I was growing up. Like, for whatever reason, my parents' cable provider did not have Cartoon Network when I was in grade school. And I would go to my grandma's house and, you know, we'd hang on out for the day and she had Cartoon Network. So it was like as soon as we got there, it's like, turn it on, we're watching Cartoon Network. Like, I've been waiting months for this, you know, but I never was able to watch it.
I've been waiting months to watch cartoons.
But I remember watching a lot of Toonami, like, at my grandma's house, and just, like, wishing that I had it at my house, because it just looked so cool. There was, like, all the segments between the shows that were, like, all CG with, like, the cool-looking, like, space guy and his spaceship were really awesome. But it's also, like, Toonami's known for kind of popularizing, kind of like what I was saying with Pokemon, but popularizing a lot of anime stateside. So like Dragon Ball Z, Gundam Wing, Yu Yu Hakusho, stuff like that really got popular because of Toonami. And like I said, I really wanted to watch this when I was a kid, and I wasn't really able to till I was about, like, you know, around like freshman and high school age, our cable provider finally got Cartoon Network. And then I was like watching Toonami all the time. The other thing I wanted to say about Toonami, though, that a lot of people forget, because I feel like when people talk about Toonami, it's very anime focused. But Toonami was really just Cartoon Network's action cartoons. Like, it wasn't only anime stuff. So like they were playing syndicated like Bruce Timm, DC comic stuff. So like sure, Batman the Animated Series, Justice League Unlimited, like those are things that were on Toonami. Samurai Jack was another, like, Drew, I know both of our, like,
dude,
one of our favorite
I
series
absolutely
that was
love
on there.
Samurai Jack. So.
Yeah. And then the other one that's kind of, I feel like, kind of forgotten, but was a really cool series was Reboot. Reboot was really big on Toonami too, which was the fully CG animated series about characters that live inside of a computer. And it was computer graphics, it was sci-fi, it felt really new and fresh back in the day. So that's my next pick.
Yeah, good call. Toonami made my short list, but I didn't watch it. I felt like I didn't watch enough off Toonami.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And when I did, it was like, it's not like I could sit down and watch the blocks. I was like, I'm here for Samurai Jack, and then I'm not into the next couple shows, so I'm gonna go do something else. You know what I mean? Like, it Yeah, it was how it was.
This one was kind of my holy grail pick, where it was one of those things that I could only watch at, like, relatives' houses. And then when we finally got Cartoon Network, it's like, yes, I can finally watch Dragon Ball Z or whatever. But, yeah.
There's a lot of animation that we're discussing tonight, which I think is interesting. I'm going back to the live-action block.
Awesome.
I'm surprised you didn't bring this up earlier. I was like, maybe we matched on this and we're saving it to the end. But I wanted to save this to the end because of the interlacing of it. I'm going with must-see TV. NBC's
Classic,
must-see TV. This covers the gambit of Wings, Mad About You, Cheers, ER, and it became a juggernaut block when Friends took off.
Oh, okay.
And when I say Friends took off, that was the juggernaut, because no network could compete with must-see TV because of Friends. But when you look at all the other shows in the mix, it was just an interesting dynamic of them. The other thing I thought was really cool is the bizarre crossovers that they did. So, like, Mad About You and Friends had several crossovers. Because Phoebe was Ursula on Mad About You in the restaurant. So they had the Mad About You characters show up on Friends to see Phoebe at the coffee shop, and Phoebe didn't know who they were, and they're like, "Ah, yeah, that's definitely her." You know, the way she treated them was just like how Ursula would treat them at the actual restaurant that they go to. So that was a cool crossover. And then you had Noah Wiley and George Clooney from ER guest star on Friends as the doctors, right? And then so they always had these weird crossovers amongst several shows. And then on Wings, Cliff and Norm took a vacation to Nantucket to go fishing, never left the cafe because they just sat and drank.
Nice, yeah.
Right? So they never actually went fishing or saw the island. They basically sat and drank and were a part of the episode. So they always did that. But when Friends dropped, it was a juggernaut that no one could compete with, which is crazy. And then eventually other stuff came. But the block as a whole, and it's massive. There's several shows that I didn't list off, but it was just, there's a lot there. So
that's awesome. This is another one, kind of like TGIF, where the majority of the shows you just mentioned, I really like I'm a big fan of a lot of them. I don't think I watched must see TV a lot as like a block itself. Like, I don't think I was like catching that every week. And I actually didn't realize that Friends was a big part of that. But I think it is like pretty cool, especially as like a TV history thing, when you think about all those shows on there. And I used must see TV as like a example pitching this list. Yep. So I remember the advertisements. I remember liking the shows. I just think most of them I watched in syndication more than just like actually on this block. But sure. Definitely a good call. So
there was a show, and I cannot, honestly, it's been driving me nuts since you brought this up. I've been trying to remember what it was. There was a show that I had watched recently. It was an older show that I was like, I'm going to go back and watch this.
Sure.
There was a Wings crossover in like the first, second, or third episode, because Wings was ending at the time, and then this show was like kicking off. But I'm like, what in the world was that? And it's been driving me nuts.
Do you ever know since what the show was about? Or?
No, and that's the thing. Okay. I think my brain was like, oh, that's kind of clever. And then I shut it down because I was focused on, like, I just was like, what was that? So I feel bad. I'm not going to remember. And I know as soon as we turn off the microphone, I'm going to remember, and I'll have to bring it up next week.
The only one I can think of, which I don't even know if this was on that block, I feel like Just Shoot Me might have been on that block with David Spade.
It could have been, yeah.
I loved that. That's, I feel like, an underrated sitcom. Like, I think that show is really funny, and most people don't even remember it anymore. But, yeah, I guess I can jump into my final pick if you're ready.
Absolutely, go ahead. Okay,
so my final pick is weird, but it's super relevant for our show, I think. And the reason I say this one's weird is this is one that I don't think had an official name. But when this was airing, everybody I knew about this block. We all talked about it. We all watched this block. But I don't think it ever had an official brand to it. And that block is AMC's Sunday Night Block during the early 2010s.
Sure.
You know exactly what I'm talking
about.
Exactly
what we're talking about.
Where it was The Walking Dead, followed by The Talking Dead, which was the Walking Dead talk show hosted by Chris Hardwick, and then followed up by Comic Book Men, the yeah. show we all know and love, the Kevin Smith's comic book shop reality show. And that was AMC's Sunday night nerd block. That's what I'm calling
it. No, it was, because yeah. that was the grouping of TV shows you watched. You watched Walking Dead, and then you had Chris Hardwick help you with your feelings.
Sure.
And then you got to like decompress
yes.
with Comic Book Man. Yep. Right?
Yeah. No, but it was a super fun block. It was really cool because it was very, it was that sort of Comic-Con atmosphere broadcast into your living room. And I felt like this block was actually a really good ambassador for all the normies out there who weren't necessarily, you know, never stepped foot into a comic book shop, but they'll still watch Talking Dead and dissect, you know, the Walking Dead TV show as well as comic book series. They'll still watch Comic Book Men and get that bit of culture in there. I remember for a bit of time, I was actually going to a friend's house every week on Sunday night to watch this with, like, his family and stuff. And it was just a really fun programming block. And I feel like this one was pretty relevant, maybe a little more recently than a lot of the other ones we talked about tonight. So, yeah, I really had to go with this one. But again, I don't think it was officially branded as anything. Just everybody knew about it, you know?
Yeah, no, good call on all of that. I didn't even think about that as a block at all.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's kind of how it was.
Yeah.
All right, that brings us to the end of this episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, do you want to toss this one in the can and go out and see what's going on in town?
Yeah, sure thing.
All right, fantastic.
This is going to be our watching and reading next week, by the way.
Yeah, exactly. What actually happened? Right, you're not going to believe this. Anyway, so everyone, do us all a favor. Check out our website.
Oh, wait. Oh. What do we got next week?
Oh, my goodness. Good call as I end that. Hey, I realized the other day that this fills a huge gamut for me because I've watched a ton of this, so I hope you have enough.
Okay.
But I want to do our favorite HBO shows.
Okay. I can definitely do at least five. Okay. So, yeah.
I was like, we've never done just HBO as a conglomerate, right? And covered their original shows.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about them all the time, but we never discuss what our favorites are. So
yeah, this will be a fun one to go
and
through.
I've watched, I think, the majority of them. So it's going to be interesting to dig through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, HBO shows next week. So yes, now we can end the show.
Awesome.
So everyone, do us all a favor. Check out our website, top5report.com. There you'll find links to all of our social media, a link with the link to our email, top5report@gmail.com. We are on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Amazon, Audible. You can subscribe to us in those places. If you do, you will not miss a single episode. You can also leave us a review. We love those 5 stars, but we understand criticism because it helps us get better and it makes the words we say feel important. You can follow me personally on Twitter and Instagram at Drew3927. Peter, what about you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at NinjaPierre, and that's where I'll be spreading the word that my name is Darth Vader. I'm an extraterrestrial from the planet Vulcan.
All right, everybody. For the Top 5 Report, I'm Drew.
I'm Peter.
And have a wonderful and safe Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week.